Today I'm going to finish up my series on brand new battery. I'm going to finish up the series on the wilderness here today. Can you hear me? Everybody here? Huh? The staticky? Oh. Wonder if that thing's doing it. I'm close to it. The thing it's on there.
It's not on, it's just your Zoom.
Okay. Did it go away? Oh boy, there we go. So I don't look retarded wearing a microphone and using a microphone. We're going to talk about the power. That's actually the theme of this morning, is the power. We say send him on down. I mean, we're talking about the Holy Ghost, man. And the song says send it on down, which that means the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you guys don't know this. Let me get down here. The Holy Ghost can do more in a millisecond than we can do in a lifetime. It's just we don't depend on him. You know, I dare to say that in a crowd of this size, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about when I talk about the Holy Ghost. You know, he's the Lord of the harvest. Jesus says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. You know, I know I made some people mad at me one time when I said, stop praying for your family. You ever seen the eyes I got? You know? When the Holy Ghost is in you, particularly if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And if you don't have that, I wonder why. Why do you not have that? Why are you not pursuing it? Do you not want everything God has for you? Everything. Folks, when you get to heaven, you don't need that to go to heaven, but you need that to live on earth. And if you don't have that, then you're shortchanging what God can do in your life. There's so many things that God can do. So many things that he can do and wants to do. The thing about God, though, is he is a complete and total gentleman, and he will not encroach anything upon you. When I say stop praying for your family, what I'm talking about is don't just say, Lord, save so-and-so and so-and-so. And Lord, I know you want to save so-and-so and so-and-so. And start declaring their salvation. See, when you pray like, Lord, save so-and-so and so-and-so, that's hope. You hope they get saved. And so you're hopefully praying that this will happen before they die. Eric, that's not a Holy Ghost prayer. then you want to hear something? He won't answer it because it's not a Holy Ghost prayer. I'm always the one that rubs against the grain, don't I? You know, I'm the kind of guy that asks, why do we cut the end of the ham off before we put it in the bowl? You ever heard that story? The great story of every Christmas, they cut the end of the ham off before they put it into the pan to bake it. Guy seen his wife do it. He says, why do you do that? They throw the whole end away. Why do you cut the end of the ham off? I don't know. My mom used to always do it. Well, let's call mom and ask her, why do you cut the end of the ham off before you do it? And they called her up and she said, you know, I really don't know why. My mom always did it. Well, let's call grandma in the nursing home and ask her, why do you cut the end of the ham off before you put it in the pan to bake it? Grandma, why do you cut the end of the ham off before you put it in the pan to bake it? Well, honey, my pan was only so big. And see, church people, they don't ask, why do you cut the end of the ham off? Oh, okay, that's what they teach. That's what they say. You know, I've been a Berean from the beginning. I've listened to them guys say stuff and say, oh, I don't know about that. Let me look that up. And I thought, man, I don't agree with that. That's not right. I tell you to do the same thing. I've told Elaine many a times, you have a right to be wrong if you want to. Check me out. Of course, she laughs. When you pray, Lord, save so-and-so, you're not praying in faith because you really don't believe it. And if you don't believe it, whose faith are you depending on? Because they sure ain't going to believe it. But when you know, when you pray a Holy Ghost-inspired prayer. See, that's what it means. He prays for us. You know, the old time Pentecostal, he used to lay around the altar and then people would say, that's the Holy Ghost praying through them. That ain't the Holy Ghost. Yeah, they're doing that. Remember that groaning that can't be uttered, you know? Some of them were so groaning, I don't even think God can understand what they were saying, you know? I mean, not picking on them. Legitimately, some of them may have been really hurting, but that wasn't the Holy Ghost. You know? It's when you declare something. See, this thing here does not have to be redone. You know? It has to be declared. All right. Marty, will you shut the doors there? Kids' church is getting in it, huh? This is all God. None of this is in my notes. The Lord wants you to get something here. Okay? When you declare something, that means you're saying amen. Because you know what the Bible says God does? He says yes. Right? That's what the scripture says. And he's waiting on the church to say amen. Because amen means let it be. Let it be as the Lord has said. So when you pray for someone, Holy Ghost inspired. Now, I'm not talking about you going around mustering something up. You know, I've seen so much mustering up in Pentecost, it drives me nuts. You know? I went to a church where they come in on Sunday night and they'd say, boy, I sure hope the Holy Ghost goes so we don't have no preaching tonight. I went, okay. I thought, Well, you know, I like those services too when they're God. Because you know what happens in those services when they're God? Life change. People get saved. People get healed. People get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Changes happen. When they're not God, there's a bunch of people running around shouting, dancing, having a glorious time in the Lord, and God ain't in it. And they shrouded away the preacher. You know, and so he didn't get to do his message because they were having a good time. I've heard him say, I hope we have a Holy Ghost night tonight. And I would say, man, I just hope somebody gets saved. If we don't have a Holy Ghost night, I'll still go to church tomorrow. I'll still go to heaven if I die, but I just hope somebody gets saved. I've had that heart of passion, and I'd hear people pray like they're just hoping God does this. Folks, it isn't hope. If you pray in hope, it won't be answered. He only responds to faith. Charlie, God does not care if you need something. Period. So if you got him sitting on some throne like some giant Santa Claus, just waiting for your beck and call so he can just start pouring things into your life, then you got a wrong God. Because that ain't who he is. But inside, when you pull out faith and you respond, it says, now faith. And you go to the throne and you say, God, you know what I need. And I'm coming to you today. And I am declaring right now that Jacob Nicely will find your grace. And he will serve you with a never dying love. Period. Now, I say thank you, Lord. And when I pray for Jacob Nicely now, I say thank you, Lord, that he's walking in your grace and that he's walking in your faith. I don't say save him. I say thank you. Because when you pray in faith, Holy Ghost inspired, folks, he responds. Now, you don't have to be bold like that. Like, you don't have to be loud and bold like I was just loud and bold. That just tends to be my personality. Okay? I know some of you are going, there ain't no way I can do that. You know? My personality's that way. I mean, I'm loud, okay? I don't need this. This is for recording purposes, and so my voice don't give out on me. Because I preach without them, and my voice gives out if I preach without it. Because if I can't hear myself, I get louder and I get louder. Fact, right? But when you pray responsive, if you look at Solomon's little prayer as he was laying in his bed, and the prophet just said, you're going to die. Get your house in order. And Solomon prays, I think it's 21 words. He looks at the wall. Lord, remember me. And have I not walked according to your will? God said, doggone it. I wanted to take him right now. Isaiah, turn around. What do you mean turn around? Go back in there. And tell him, okay, I'm going to give him 14 more years. That's how God responds to faith. Not, if it be thy will. That's the most weakest prayer there is. If you don't know his will, don't pray about it. Now, the stuff that I'm talking about, the responding in faith, the praying and prayer of faith, and all that, comes from the wilderness. In the text, Isaiah 35 is where we're at right now, Isaiah 35. You won't have power unless you go through the wilderness to get it. In Isaiah 35, it says the wilderness is a solitary place. Shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly. And rejoice even with joy and singing, and the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye weak hands and feeble the knees, and confirm the feeble knees, Say to them that are of a faint heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame man leap as a hart, the hart as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty lands of water in a habitation of dragons, for which they lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean heart shall pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up therein. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed, everybody say redeemed, shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, that's with a Z, with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh my goodness, what a, give the Lord a hand, amen. I love the power of His Word, and there's so much in that. I hope I get enough time to even talk a little bit about some of that, because there is a lot in that verse, you know. There are essentially three powers that happen in the wilderness. Three separate powers. And today we're going to try to look at them. All three of them. The wilderness is a place where we gain our power and strength from. You remember when Jesus, the Bible says He spent 40 days in there. And when He left, He came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's in Luke 4. It's the place where the Holy Spirit rejuvenates you. Now, the first power I want to talk about is found in verses 1 and 2. It is the power of worship. The power of worship. Now, worship takes many forms, particularly in the wilderness. You see, we have to get over the mindset that just singing is worship. We have to get over the mindset that playing instruments is worship. That is only a form of worship to which God expects. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up to a land that is good and large, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. In Exodus 3, verse 16, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared to me saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will heed your voice, and they shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now, please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Praise God. What worship does he want? Sacrifice. He expects sacrifices unto him. In Exodus 5:1, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. What type of worship does he want? He wants feasting unto him. Oh, hallelujah. He wants feasting unto him. Exodus 7:16. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you will not hear them. What kind of worship does he want? He wants service unto him. Oh, hallelujah. Do you see the progression here? Do you see the progression? Oh, hallelujah. Exodus 8:1. And the Lord God spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Exodus 8:20. And the Lord God said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out the water. Say to them, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Over and over and over again until we get to chapter 12. The type of worship that he expects is service unto him. Let me take a breath. What's that mean? What does it mean to serve him? I asked that question one time. What's it mean to serve God? Well, there's all kinds of answers. One person said, it means to read the Bible. If you read the Bible, you're serving God. One person said, it means to pray. If you pray, you're serving God. The ultimate, go to church. That means you're serving God if you go to church. Folks, the devil goes to church every week. He ain't serving God. He ain't serving God. There is a natural progression found in the children of Israel that gives us the progression of worship that God expects. The progression of worship that he expects. Strengthen your weak hands and your feeble knees. Say to them of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. There is a natural progression. We sacrifice unto him. We sacrifice. We make a sacrifice unto him. Oh, hallelujah. Whatever that might be. God is inspired today in Romans chapter 12. He says, I want a living sacrifice. I don't want you to be a church person. God doesn't want us to be a church person. You hear them people? The churched and the unchurched. I hate the new terminology today. You know, in the old days they said the saved and the unsaved. But the word saved is and unsaved is offensive. You know? So this guy comes along and he says, we can't say the word hell anymore. It's offending too many people. We have to say Christless eternity. And if John Finney was in a grave, Charles Finney just rolled over. Christless eternity. You will live a Christless eternity without God. That's a bunch of baloney. It is. How do I know that? Because God's presence is in hell. David said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. That's the purpose of the lake of fire. Hell itself is thrown into the lake of fire. And it's completely dark away from the presence of the Lord. Period. His presence is everywhere. It's everywhere. Do you know God's presence is like radio waves? Do you know that? Do you know there is loud music, Steve, playing in here right now? It is. It's loud, too. All kinds of varieties, all at the same time right now, playing in this room. If I would put a radio here and tune it in, you guys would hear loud music playing. You would. It's in the room. That's the way his presence is. That's the way his presence is. You have to tune into it to get it. You have to take your time, and that's the sacrifice we're talking about. That's the sacrifice he's talking about. You make the sacrifice of being a living sacrifice. I don't say go to church. I say be the church. You probably need a t-shirt on your back, that when you walk out the door, it says, the church has left the building. Because you are the church. Be the church of the living God. Oh, hallelujah. Be the sacrificer and the servant that he demands for you to be. He tells them over and over until you get to chapter 12. To serve him. In chapter 12, verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord. Now let me just say this. Some people say, well, that's just not fair to take all them firstborn. If you look in the scriptures, it also says this about the firstborn. It says the firstborn belong to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. They belong to him. And that gives him the right. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 13, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be unto you to destroy you, and I will strike the land of Egypt. All of the plagues of Egypt were a direct violation attack against the gods of Egypt. They worship frogs, so he sent them frogs till they popped on top of them. Till they're eating frogs in their Kellogg's. They worship the sun, so he put it out and made it go dark. They worship the river Nile, so he turned it all into blood. All of the plagues, they worship their cows, so he killed them. They worship their crops. They had gods for their crops. So he sent locusts to eat all the crops. Every single plague was a violation against the gods of Egypt. God did not want to do what he had to do. But the scripture says in the first couple times, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And when Pharaoh hardened his heart, the Bible says God finished it off. Every time Moses went out there, God told him, you go tell him this, but he ain't going to let you go. That'd be so discouraging, wouldn't it? Go give the message, but he ain't going to listen to you. He said, but the last one, he's going to let you go with that one. The death of the firstborn. And that's where the blood comes into play. That's where we get the application of the blood. In our lives, for our protection. and for our protection of our families. And when you apply the blood, he will pass over you. Amen. He give him specific instructions. Exodus 12 and 25. It will come to pass that when you come to the land to which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you will keep this service. And it shall be, when the children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord. And they shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel of Egypt and who struck the Egyptians and delivered all of our households. And so the people, here it is, bowed their heads in worship. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He delivered them so they would worship him. You do know those people didn't make it in, right? You know that, right? They died in the wilderness. They didn't make it into the promised land. And whether they made it into heaven or not, I do not know. I just know they didn't make it into the promised land because they disobeyed him. Oh, hallelujah. They worshiped before they fought the battle. The same with us. We must worship, then fight the enemy. Do you want to come out of the wilderness? Then you must worship. And when you're done, you must cross the river. In Joshua 5, verse 10. Now the children of Israel camped with Gilgal and kept the Passover of the 14th day of the month at twilight in the plains of Jericho. They crossed the river and camped on the other side to worship. Verse 2 of our text, it says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fear-hearted, be strong and do not fear, I tell you today. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. The key word of this passage is the word say. That leads me to my next power, the power of revelation. The power of worship and the power of revelation. You got to start talking about it. You have to say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress. In him will I trust. Oh, hallelujah. As soon as you say, God begins to operate in your life. Because the saying is the faith that God needs to see to move. God does not operate in our lives by hope, like I said. He only operates by faith. He doesn't care about need. He cares about faith. We must say to the mountain, be thou removed. When Jesus said that in Mark 11, 22, he said, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. Yeah. Where did Jesus get this wilderness? Where did he get this teaching from? He got it from the wilderness. He got it from the wilderness. Remember the devil kept trying to get him to say things? Just say to that rock. Right? Just worship me. Everything I'm talking to you about today is the very same thing the devil tried to do to Jesus. Because he understood the transference of power that comes from the wilderness experience. We go day after day, week after week, month after month, some people year after year, with mountains in our lives that we won't tell to get out of here. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And if you believe in your heart, it shall be done. That's the key. The reason we don't say it is we don't believe it. It's too much. It's too much. It is. Humanly. It's too much. Humanly. Too much. Takes the Holy Ghost. Takes the Holy Spirit. It takes going through the wilderness. It takes coming out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Ghost to say to the mountain, shoot, Jesus looked, he's seen this tree. Man, am I hungry. I just love figs. He gets over there and he's pilfering through the leaves. No figs. I say you will never produce figs again. Come on, guys. We're going to go get something to eat. Tree ain't got no figs. They come walking by there the next day and they look at this tree. It's withered. One of the disciples probably goes over and it's brittle. It died in one day. They're just standing here marveling this tree. And Jesus walks up and looks at it and says, what's up? The tree master's dead. He said, yeah, I know, I said that. You'll never produce figs again. You know why he was ticked off at the tree? It had leaves. It had leaves on it. That's why he was ticked off at it. Because in Israel, when a fig tree has leaves, it has figs. This thing was advertising something it wasn't. It was a hypocrite tree. He says, you're dead. Whatever you say, folks, it's your mouth. You have the power right here to say. Now, you can take your old teachings that you've got from years past that some guy taught you that faith isn't this and faith is that and, you know, you can't expect too much and all that. You can just do that and you can just go on and live your life and then they'll put you in a box and you'll be in heaven shaking hands with Jesus and hugging him and all that kind of stuff. Or you can say, I'm not putting up with it no more. I did that a long time ago. And began speaking my life into existence. But, Steve, it's dangerous. This thing's dangerous, you know? Because you can say one day, right? When you're feeling on the cloud, you know? You know, your cloud running, man, and you're saying one thing, and you don't see it working. And then guess what you do? You say, oh, it probably will never work out. Right? Just because you don't see it working. See, that's how dangerous this thing is, I'm telling you. When it says the power of life and death are in the tongue, it means it. I don't even want to get into the part how you're going to be judged by your words. I'm not even going to get into that one. You know what I'm saying? Oh my gosh. My pastor used to say, you know what the problem with church people is? When they were young, they prayed, they sowed all these wild oats. And then when they got older, they prayed for crop failure. You know? Revelation. See, Revelation is about everything. It's a power that has to do with everything. And you need it. You need revealed to you the power that is in you. Do you know Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins? Do you guys get that? I heard years ago there used to be a singer named Carmen. When I was a youth pastor, he was big. And so we took lots of youth groups to Carmen, to see Carmen. I actually didn't mind him myself. He was quite entertaining. And I remember him telling a story one time about Jesus and John the Baptist being cousins. See, Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book. And I went, what the heck does that mean? If I went around the room and said, what does that mean? Yeah, most would shrug their shoulders if they're honest, which I was in that position. And then I heard him do this little skit of Jesus and the John the Baptist and how they come to meet each other when they're young men. Hey, cuz! Smacking hands together, you know. How you doing? Yeah, I'm doing great, man. He went out to the wilderness to have some locusts, fried locusts with John, you know. Chased it down with a little honey. We're doing really good. You know, Jesus, I was reading a book the other day. He says, yeah, I was too. It said in there that he shall be called Mighty God. And Jesus said, I like that one. Everlasting Father, I like that one too. That's pretty cool, ain't it? Yeah. But then it says, he shall be wounded for our transgressions. Yeah, that one's kind of bummer. He shall be bruised for our iniquities. Yeah, you know, I really don't like that particular verse. Let's get back to Mighty God. Jesus knew the whole book. And that's why he said, if you believe in your heart. Because that's where belief comes from. It comes from knowing the book. You can't tell me God doesn't care about me. You can't tell me God's left me. Because I know the book. If he cares for the sparrows, how much more does he care for you? Amen? How much more does he care for you? He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That means he's always here. He's always here, no matter what. Folks, I'm here to tell you today, that you have to speak to the mountain and tell it to get out of here. Tell it to get out of here. Let me finish this. Finally, the power of deliverance. In verse 5, it says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the lame shall leap like a deer, the tongue of the dumb sing, for the water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. The habitation of jackals where they lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Folks, sometimes great miracles burst forth in the wilderness. The water bursts forth in the wilderness and causes growth. Grass grows in desert soil. There is no dryness. It is also the place where you get back your purpose. You get back your purpose. That is the deliverance of God. Delivered for a specific purpose. Oh, hallelujah. and being useful to that purpose. That's the power of the wilderness. Oh, hallelujah. Don't just take my word for it. Take the word's word for it. If you want to have revelation, it takes time in the wilderness. If you want to have true worship, it takes time in the wilderness. If you want to have true deliverance, it takes time in the wilderness. Oh, hallelujah. The wilderness is the place where the power of God is gained in our lives. Stand up with me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, this morning, as your people sit here this morning, Lord, as they are in the midst of your body, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would give them that power that they deserve, that power that they earnestly desire. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to say to the mountain, "Be thou removed," and watch it be cast out of their way. And whatever is standing in their way, Lord, I pray that you would reveal it to them. Because, Lord, I know that you have marching orders for each and every person in this room. And God, we just ask you right now to make those orders a reality, Father. Help us to serve you, Lord God, with a never-dying love. Help us to be the living sacrifices that you require of us. Lord, you don't want us to fast. You don't want us to make these superficial things. You want us to break the chains of those that are in bondage. You want us to set captives free. Deliver those who are blind. And show them a new life. Father, we just thank you for that. And Lord, we just never fail to love you. Lord, whoever's in this house this morning, you show them that way. You show them that way. In Jesus' precious name. Does anybody have special need of prayer this morning? Special need.